From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. The sound of a French military jet returning to a base in eastern France after pounding Muammar Gaddafi's air defenses in Tripoli in support of Libyans who've been bombarded for days now by government warplanes. 112 Tomahawk cruise missiles were fired from U.S. and British ships and submarines around the same time that French warplanes were targeting Gaddafi's military installations from above. Libyan state television claims 48 people have been killed in the attacks. Those reports could not be confirmed. Libya's leader remained defiant after the military strikes on his country. NPR's David Green says Gaddafi was speaking on state TV, urging citizens to take up arms to defend their homeland.
Gaddafi's statement was broadcast shortly after the airstrikes began. The aggression, as Gaddafi called it, will only increase the strength, firmness, and unity of Libya's people. The leader offered to put weapons in the hands of civilians to help defend the country.
We should arm all the masses, open the arms depots to defend Libya, its unity and sovereignty and pride.
At Gaddafi's sprawling military compound in central Tripoli, supporters rallied. Men and women alike said they'd die defending Gaddafi if his compound became a target. Quietly, other Tripoli residents will tell you they stand with the rebels and want Gaddafi out. But those people have kept their views private as Gaddafi was racking up victories over the rebels. David Green, NPR News, Tripoli.
President Obama says force is not his first choice in Libya, but he says the world has a responsibility to protect the Libyan people. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports from Brazil, where the president is on a trip through Latin America.
The president was not eager to engage American military forces in a third war on top of the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, but he told reporters traveling with him in Brasilia that the world cannot stand idly by and watch Muammar Gaddafi kill his own people.
Part of this effort, the United States will contribute our unique capabilities at the front end of the mission to protect Libyan civilians and enable the enforcement of a no-fly zone that will be led by our international partners.
President Obama does not intend to cut his Latin America trip short to deal with the situation in Libya. Key members of his national security team are on this trip, and the White House believes they can keep him fully informed as he travels through Brazil, Chile, and El Salvador. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Brasilia.
Japanese health officials say elevated levels of radiation were found in spinach and milk from farms near the crippled nuclear facility in northeastern Japan. Traces of higher amounts of radiation have also been found in tap water in Tokyo, but officials insist the levels are relatively low and there's no immediate health threat. Government officials say workers at the Fukushima Daiichi plant have finally been able to douse spent fuel rods with water. Emergency teams in an unarmed vehicle sprayed water on the plant's Unit 4 reactor. This is NPR. The U.S. ambassador to Mexico is resigning after a very public disagreement with President Felipe Calderon over the way Mexico handles its war against drug gangs. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says she and President Obama accept Ambassador Carlos Pascual's resignation with great reluctance. A diplomatic spat emerged after secret State Department memos published by WikiLeaks show Pascual criticizing Mexico's efforts to target drug lords. Haitians go to the polls tomorrow to choose a new president after a highly criticized primary. The voting comes just after the return of former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. NPR's Kerry Kahn reports he returned over the objections of the Obama administration, who fear his presence would be a destabilizing factor.
Aristide flew from South Africa, where he'd been living in exile for 7 years. He was greeted in Port-au-Prince by crowds of adoring fans. The former slum priest turned president and twice deposed from Haiti is revered by the poor here, but others say he was corrupt and autocratic. Aristide insists his return was not to influence Sunday's presidential election, although his supporters eagerly awaited an endorsement in the upcoming contest. Aristide has yet to back anyone in the race. The election pits two center-right candidates, both of whom have in the past criticized Aristide. 50-year-old carnival singer Michelle Martelly faces off 70-year-old former First Lady Mirlan Maniga. Kerry Kahn, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
Charlie Sheen says he plans to riff like an artist from memory rather than use a script when he kicks off his 21-day Torpedo of Truth tour next month. The performance is to last about 80 minutes, according to one of his producers. Sheen was fired from Two and a Half Men. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News.